Happy Monday, everybody, from Castaway Key. Thanks for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. Today's episode of the show is brought to you by the great folks who keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Studios Florida vacation. Of course, I'm talking about my friends over at touringplans.com. Be the hero of your family. You know, it's almost like you're a superhero, like you're right out of a Marvel movie. You can go around the crowds, and trust me, I'm using lines and touringplans.com right now as I make my way around the Walt Disney World theme parks, both before the cruise, and we're going to get off the ship here in a couple days, and I'll be back in the parks using all of the great information over at touringplans.com. I've already planned out the best days to see each park, and I'm going to be using Lines, which is the mobile application, which will let me select the attractions I'm most interested in and see those with the least amount of wait. Check them out today. They're going to make your next Disney vacation awesome. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 883 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And could it be a better Monday, everybody? I mean, I know some of you guys are probably sitting there on the morning commute taking the show with you, which we always appreciate. Maybe you're out on a run, getting that training in for the next race, Run Disney thing, Wine and Dine possibly, something in your local hometown. Maybe you're just doing the dishes or vacuuming the floors. I don't know, but you know what? I have to say this today, you know, because you don't get to say this every single Monday. But today I'm in Castaway Key, and of course we recorded the show a little bit early, so we never miss a podcast. But today is the second leg of the challenge, the double dip 5K times two, whatever we're calling it. We're having a great time running in paradise down at Castaway Key, and I'm sure the podcast cruise is going swimmingly. But again, give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram, both places, Be Our Guest Mike. I have been posting pictures from Walt Disney World, hopefully a few from the cruise line, and I'll continue doing that again on Wednesday as I hit land and we head over to Animal Kingdom Lodge for a couple of days to continue the fun. So hope you're having a great week. I know that I am. I can tell you that, man. Life doesn't get better than sailing with the Disney Cruise Line. But we're going to talk about an amazing trip with another great listener of the show. He's back. He was on episode 499 way back in 2012, so about every 400 episodes. Come on back. We have listener Tim. How's it going, Tim?
Good, Mike. How are you? Thanks for having me back. It's great to be back on again with you.
You know, it was time, you know, 300-400 episodes apart, and, you know, we got to catch up with your next Disney adventure. So hopefully life's been treating you well in between.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very excited to talk about this trip I did with my wife recently.
All right. So let's talk about that trip. When did you go and where'd you stay and all that good stuff?
Yeah. So this was an adult only trip. So my wife and I, we traveled late January 2015. So I think the specific dates were arrival on the 21st of January until January 24th. And we stayed at the Grand Floridian, which was our first time staying there. We have taken several trips over the last 5 or 6 years with our kids. But this opportunity arose where I had a work meeting down in Orlando. And of course, as you know, it doesn't take much to convince any Disney lover to book an extra few days at the World. So I talked to my wife and said, why don't we do a trip? And it actually also coincided, our 15-year wedding anniversary was in October. So this was just a couple months later. So I said, why don't we do a trip? Let's do it upright. We'll celebrate our 15-year anniversary. Our goal was really to do things that the kids would have literally no interest in doing. Everything from things we do in the parks, to a tour, to restaurants, shopping, downtime, everything that your kids would hate to do, we did the opposite. And we did work in a few, you know, fun rides and stuff. Of course, we had to. But so that was really our goal. And as we'll talk about here, we definitely accomplished it.
All right. So let me ask you this, because, you know, we do have guests come on from time to time that have families and they go down for a couple's trip. What was that like when you approached that with the kids? I mean, were they cool with that? I mean, it was your anniversary and your kids are not, you know, toddlers or anything like that. So how did that conversation go?
That's a great question. So we really treaded very lightly around it, and we didn't tell them very close to before we went. Of course, I did all my plans, you know, made my ADRs and booked the tour that we did all 180 days out. So we were all planned like we normally are, but we just didn't really want to, you know, drop the bomb on them, so to speak. So we kind of held off telling them. And eventually we had obviously had to tell them because they had grandparents that were going to be staying at the house, and we had to kind of make plans. So we did tell them, and we told them that I had a work meeting, and mom was going to join me for a couple of days. And of course, my older one, who's 12, who is about a Disney fanatic as I am, you know, started asking about, well, are you going on this or are you going to be doing this? And started, you know, getting a little bit pouty every now and then. But, you know, we said we're doing some things down there that you guys would have no interest in. And we told her that the tour we were taking, you had to be 16 to go on. So they couldn't do that anyway. So we did downplay it a little bit just to kind of take the sting out of it a little bit. But we had just gotten back from a trip in, I'm thinking back the timeline, in October of 2014. We had a stay at the Wilderness Lodge. So they had just been there for a few months prior. So that kind of took the sting out a little bit. So it was a little bit of a white lie, kind of things that you have to do to kind of keep peace in the family. But eventually, especially when we got back, we did kind of share some of the things that we did, and obviously some pictures we had to share with them. But I think all in all, they understood. They were pretty good about it and probably handled it in the end better than I thought.
You know, that's hilarious, because we did a spring break cruise a few years back on the Wonder just to get out of the, you know, get out of the cold in St. Louis in the middle, you know, like March. And we were traveling. We had dinner with these three sisters, adult sisters, that were getting together just for a girls, you know, little 5-night cruise. And one of them had two kids, but none of them brought their kids. And we asked her, you know, well, when did you tell your kids that, you know, you're going on a cruise over spring break? You know, and they didn't get to go. And she's like, oh, they think I'm at a business meeting in Kansas. So I was like, you said what? So, yeah, there's the other way to go. Just lie and say you're going to Kansas. You know, at least you're on. You said you had a white lie. It's much better than this lady. She was chilling, you know, we're in Cozumel, and she's, you know, they're both, you know, feeling bad for her because she's at a business meeting in Kansas. So there's the other way you can tackle this situation.
Yeah, there was no way we could do that. They knew I was going to Orlando. And then obviously with my wife joining in, the kids are certainly old enough and astute enough to know what's going on in Orlando. So we kind of had to let them in on a little bit.
Good stuff. Well, give us your thoughts on the Grand Floridian. What'd you think?
Well, it was awesome. It was just everything I expected and more. And we just, and I guess this is a good time today to kind of tell you about our magical moment, because it really happened literally as we arrived. So we took the Magical Express and obviously got off at the Grand Floridian. This is just amazing how Disney knows everything. We weren't literally two steps off of the bus, and there were two cast members there waiting for us. Literally, at the time, we didn't know they were waiting for us. So we got off the bus, and they greeted us right away, and they said, hello, are you the Sadas? And we said, yes. And they said, well, welcome to the Grand Floridian. Is this your first time here? And we said, yes, it is. And they said, how was your trip in? And to be honest, they were asking a lot of questions, and I was getting, I hate to admit this, I was getting a little annoyed because I was so excited about getting in and checking in and checking it out. I'm like, they're holding me back. You know, what's going on? And so they turned to each other. The one lady turned to the younger cast member and said, well, do you want to escort them to their magical suite upgrade? And instantly my wife looks at me and says, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything.
No, see, that's where you made your mistake. You're like, I'll tell you later.
Well, true. Exactly. I should have thought that. Well, the funny part is, then she asked me, she said, our travel agent, Steve, she said, well, did Steve do it? I said, I don't think so. So we start, she's like, well, follow me. I'm going to walk you to your room. So we literally walked into the lobby. And of course, our jaws are on the ground, just looking around at how beautiful everything is. So I said, I have to ask you, I said, is this really happening? You're taking us directly to our room and we're getting an upgrade? She's like, yep, I'm magically upgrading you to a beautiful suite. You're going to be taken to a 2-bedroom, 3-bathroom suite. Oh, and my wife says, you have got to be kidding me. Of all times, we were thrilled, but we've traveled with our kids, and you know how it is being exactly. Being stuck in a room with two queen beds or two double beds and one bathroom, and thinking, why didn't this happen when we had our girls with us? So we were we were ecstatic. So she starts showing us all around the resort. We stopped at the pool and stopped at a couple of the restaurants, showed us around. So she brought us right to our room. She has a key, of course, keys right in. We walk in, and Mike, it looked like an apartment. It was unbelievable. You walked in, there was immediately a huge closet to your left and a bathroom to your right. And as you walked straight in, it was a huge living area. So you had couches and chairs and literally a dining room table.
Wow.
Big TV. It was just our jaws were on the ground. I just couldn't believe it. And I know I could read my wife. She just kept, as I said before, just kept thinking, why didn't this happen when the girls were here? I'm thinking, look at the space that we have. And it was two full bedrooms with two full bathrooms. So the master bedroom had a four-poster bed with big armoire, of course, the private balcony. And when I opened up the balcony, you could see the monorail was right behind us. So it was a great view. Had a full bathroom. And then what would have been, I guess, the kids' room on the other end of the quote-unquote apartment were two queen beds, of course, big furniture, TV, another full bathroom, shower. It was just unbelievable. So after the cast member left, she checked us in. We were all set. My wife looked around and said, I'm going to take that bathroom. You can have the other one. So we literally spread out. I don't think she came into the bedroom except to sleep. She took one bathroom with one closet area. I had the other. So it was great for getting ready and stuff because we had plenty of space. But it was just unbelievable to have that upgrade and to have this be part of our anniversary and to kick things off. And we literally weren't on grounds more than 3 minutes before this magical moment happened. So you hear these stories and you hear how this happens to people. And when it actually happens to you, it's just amazing.
It's a pretty good deal when, you know, you can play hide and seek in your accommodations. You know, that's a good sign.
Pretty much what it was for three nights. Exactly.
That's so great. Yeah, because like you said, you hear these stories happening all the time, but it's great when you hear it, you know, for somebody that really appreciates it, because you guys are big Disney fans. You know that it's, you know, one of those things kind of like the golden ticket that gets dropped every once in a while. But then when it happens to you and you can, you know, share the story with like our audience today, your family, when you got home, it's a neat thing. I mean, you can't expect it, but when you get it, boy, it sure is special.
Oh, and forget getting home. We were texting and calling people as soon as the cast member left the room. I couldn't wait to start texting people and sending pictures. And so we were doing that, you know, literally, especially me, I was doing it within 10 minutes, you know, from checking into the room, just couldn't wait to show it off. And joked about, you know, we have all the space. Who's joining us for the next few days? Even though we really didn't want any guests, but
we're not going to tell you
the
room.
A good thought.
Yeah, you can come join us. We're just not telling you the room number. So
yeah, exactly.
All right. So you know, you guys, you mentioned you did some special things. Obviously, you did some of the typical park stuff, but you did some special events other than your dining. I kind of want to close out with your dining because I think that's going to be something to really share with everybody. You got some cool stuff there, but you know, what did you do as far as you know, these special events like tours? You mentioned I think you did Keys to the Kingdom. How was that?
Oh, it was amazing. We loved that. So we did that on our third day. You know, I've heard a lot of great feedback and had a couple friends that have done it and just, you know, really, really enjoyed it. And if you're a Disney fanatic, which of course most of your listeners are, I've heard it's really a must do. So we booked it again, 180 days in advance. And we had the 8:30 in the morning tour. So it was awesome. So you got into the Magic Kingdom, of course, before rope drop. So this was at the end of January. It was a Monday. You know, there was a little bit of a downtime at that time. So, you know, we got in at 8:30 and just really neat. First of all, you get in the inside and you just kind of see things, as I kind of told people, kind of behind the curtain before things are really getting going. You could see, I think I even saw like a couple golf carts, just things kind of like zipping around and just getting things ready. So we were actually probably in there at about maybe 5 or 10 after 8, you know, maybe 20 minutes before our tour started, and checked in at City Hall and met the cast member that was going to be doing the tour and met the other folks in our group. And it's about a 4.5 hour tour, started at 8:30. It includes lunch. And it's just amazing. You get these headsets so you can hear absolutely perfect. So the tour guide wears a headset, so you just put this little headset on so you can hear him absolutely perfect. There's around maybe 12, 14 people in our group. You have to be 16 or older to go on the tour. So there's no little children. In our group, there was nobody even around that age. Everybody was the adult age. And it's just all this information. It's hard for me even to tell you a couple things because there's so many things that we learned about. And I know one of the first things we did is we walked down Main Street and we went into a little, and there's things that like you never would notice when you're just there because you're always, at least we are, running down Main Street, going to our first attraction, and you just miss these things. So he kind of took us to this little, I'll call it an alley, off of Main Street. And there were some tables back there, and we never noticed these tables in our life, so had a seat there. And he said, you know, he started talking to us a little bit about some of the things that were on Main Street, some of the things that were Walt's ideas. And he said, I'm going to pause here. And he literally timed it. He said, it's about, you know, 9 o'clock now. We can hear the music. He said, let's watch the stampede. So we turned and could just see the stampede of people going down Main Street. And he said, aren't you glad you're not part of that today? So it was kind of nice just to kind of sit back. And it really gives you a completely different perspective. So the tour continues. I think what everybody kind of hears about the Keys to the Kingdom tour is you get to go, you know, quote unquote, underground. And you get to go backstage. So there's two opportunities to go backstage. The first is just off of Main Street. You literally go backstage. There's a little, a gate that kind of opens, and you head back there. Actually, I'm sorry. It's actually in Frontierland is where we went backstage for the first time, and it's really interesting because they literally have a, even though you're quote unquote, you think you're backstage, there's, you probably have to walk maybe, I don't know, 30 or 40 feet. And there's a mark on the sidewalk, and that mark means the cast members are literally backstage. And the reason that this is, I guess, one little tip I can share with the listeners. The reason for that is once you go through the gate, the public or the guests can still see you. So you're still on stage, even though you're backstage, if you can follow that. So once you hit the line, nobody else can see you, and you can, I guess, the cast members can quote unquote, let their guard down. So just little tips like that. And then you get backstage and you get to see. He took us back to where the Main Street Electrical Parade floats were. They're literally just parked in a garage, for lack of a better word. So it's very workable. It's nothing flashy. You can see some logs from Splash Mountain and some boats from Pirates of the Caribbean that are just kind of turned over that they're working on. You saw a couple characters that were in their costume but weren't wearing the head. So that was kind of different. I didn't see Mickey or any of the big people, but, you know, definitely saw a couple characters, which was kind of just kind of funny and interesting. So you could see why you wouldn't want to have young kids taking the tour. And so that was really neat. That was one backstage opportunity. And then there's lunch that's included, and lunch is at Harbor House. Is that what it's called?
Columbia Harbor House.
Columbia Harbor House, right. Which was nice. It was a nice break. So that's included in your admission. And then the tour continues, and there's two opportunities to ride attractions. The first one is Jungle Cruise, which was really neat because you ride it, and instead of having a normal skipper, your tour guide is the skipper, and it's not the actual ride. So he just really just talks to you and talks about some of the interesting facts and about Jungle Cruise. And I think a lot of people may know that initially Walt's idea was that was going to be live animals and why that really wouldn't work in that setting, but it was just kind of interesting to hear that story again. And he just kind of talked you through the different animatronics and why things happen, and just, again, just great background information. And the other opportunity you got to ride an attraction was Haunted Mansion. Again, it was really neat because they literally brought you into like a back, almost like an emergency entrance. So you got to kind of go into the back door, and then it's pretty much you ride the full attraction, but there's so much detail that he provides about, again, the history of the ride and just so much interesting information that you would just never know without this knowledge. And we probably spent almost, I would say, 20 minutes to half an hour kind of exploring the ride and kind of talking about it, some things that were even out front that were, you know, part of the pre-show that he explained. So that was just really neat. And then the final part of the tour is I think the thing that people really look forward to. It's going into the Utilidors. And it was neat. It was very cool. The only thing, the bad part of our tour was they had the lights were out, and they were just basically had kind of a little bit of an emergency. So we did get to see some of it, but he wasn't able to take us back to get the full effect. And we kind of kidded with them that because they had some like house lights or that you could still see. And I was trying to convince them, we can see fine, really, let's go.
we all have iPhones, we'll turn the flashlight on.
Yeah, exactly. And he said, you know, he's like, for safety, we better not. So we did get to see some of it, but unfortunately we missed a little bit of it. But still, it was a great tour. And I didn't think the price was that bad for really 4.5-5 hours, including lunch. So for folks that haven't done it, if you are a Disney fanatic, I would highly suggest it's worth the half a day. It was over by early afternoon, so you still had the rest of the day to tour the park. And we really, really loved it.
Yeah, I've done this one, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm actually thinking about doing it again on this trip if I get a chance, because it's that good, you know, because I think that, you know, probably 85% of the information is standard with the tour, but I would imagine that maybe 15 to 20% could vary depending on the cast member and what they're, you know, passionate about and what stories they've been told or that they've done personal research. So, you know, just for the experiences of going down the Utilidors, back dooring into a couple rides and just hearing people's opinions, you know, of course I'm a Disney nerd, so it wouldn't bother me to do it again. So now that you gave a great description of this tour, I'm fired up maybe to do it again, you know, get my name tag and my little secret surprise there that you get at lunch and all that stuff. Yep. Man, who knows?
Yep, absolutely. And I already promised my girls that when they hit 16, so that we will take them on the tour. So that was a little carrot that we left them with, or when we came back and we told them when we went on the tour, and I could see my older daughter's just kind of jaw drop, and she wanted to know all the secrets. And I said, I'm not ruining any secrets. You're gonna have to wait a few years. She's almost 13. She'll be 13 in July. And, you know, when you're 16 and your sister is of age, then you can experience it. So I definitely see what you mean. I think you could easily gain some new knowledge just by having a different tour guide.
All right. Well, great stuff there. Now let's talk about a couple other things you did, and then we're going to close out with the dining. Jelly Rolls. You guys went over there. I have been there years ago. I mean, it's been over 10 years ago. And we had a great time as a big group of us that worked at Space Camp. We went over there one night and just, had a great old time. So how was it for you guys?
You know, it was fun. I guess it was what I expected, and it wasn't what I expected. So what I mean by that is, obviously, I expected the dueling pianos and the music was good. It I don't know how it felt for you when you were there last. It was definitely had the feel of un-Disney. What I mean by that was it was very expensive. Not like you're not expecting that because it's Disney, but even more so. I thought there was a pretty significant cover charge and it wasn't busy at all. I mean, I think at one point there might have been two tables in there. So the drinks were expensive, even for Disney. I thought they were even supersized for Disney. But once you got to what you were doing, which you were there to hear the music and hear the dueling pianos, it was fun, and the music was really good. What we saw was you'd have a couple performers, and they would maybe play for half an hour, 45 minutes, and then they would switch out, and then you'd have two new performers come, and they took requests. That's how they get their I guess they make some tips, and they get to play, you know, different songs and play what the guests want to hear. So we put our request in, and they ended up did play it. So it was fun. It was we had dinner on the boardwalk, so it was really a nice thing to do, and it's definitely not a thing you want to bring your kids to. In fact, I think there might be an age limit there of 16 or 18, might even be 21, I can't remember. But if you're there with adults, it's definitely, you know, a fun thing to do. Not something that I wouldn't need to do every time I was there, but it was a fun evening, and the music was really good.
Yeah, the night we were there, I mean, we were there with a group of probably 10 to 15 of us that drove in from Alabama. You know, it was our 1 week off of the summer that over 4th of July when, we'd been working as like dogs the entire summer. And so we had, you know, this like 5-day window, and it was packed, and it was just, it's one of those things like, you know, we just wanted to cut loose. And you're right. Yeah. I mean, you gave a good description of it, but it was like packed in that place that night. It must have been like a Saturday night or something. So, you know, it kind of fit our bill, but I could see where if it's not, that's one of those places where you almost want it to be crowded because it kind of brings an energy to the place. If there's not a whole lot of people there, it's probably not quite as, you know, the same experience.
Yeah, no, exactly. In fact, you know, we pretty much had our choice of tables, and I wanted to grab a table right in front. My wife was afraid of being right up front. She thought we were going to get picked on or called on or something. So, but I said, well, there's nobody here. Let's just, and by the time we left, it did fill in a little bit, but it definitely was not. You know, it was not packed. I think it was, and again, this was the end of January, even though we all know Disney doesn't have too many downtimes anymore. The end of January tends to be a little bit of a slower time. It was a Sunday night, so maybe that we just caught it at a little bit of a slower time. And it was a little early in the evening too. It was probably 9-10 o'clock, so it hadn't really gotten too late in the evening as well.
All right, so I'm assuming you said you dined this evening on the boardwalks. This was your flying fish dinner?
It was, yes. So this was our flying fish dinner, which was our first time there. And as I said at the beginning of the show, we wanted to go to places that, not that the kids couldn't have, they would have been okay there, but that wouldn't have been, you know, their cup of tea. So that was our first time there. Again, heard a lot of great things about it and had a fantastic meal and just really enjoyed it. Great service. And as you know, anytime you go to these deluxe restaurants, you're getting top of the line service and just great interaction with the cast members. So we really enjoyed it. It was just a great experience. The food was really good. I would definitely recommend it as a good place to go if you're looking for kind of a higher end meal, especially if you're either staying in the boardwalk area or, you know, visiting the boardwalk.
All right, so we're kind of stepping through your ADRs here as we get towards the tail end of the show here. You also did a dinner at California Grill, again, taking advantage of your locale there, being at the Grand Floridian on the monorail and looking for those, like you said, the deluxe type dinners where maybe your kids wouldn't appreciate it quite as much. And when you're a couple, the atmosphere is what you're looking for. So how was that over at Cali?
It was great. We again, booking it 180 days in advance, I made sure to kind of time our reservation around when Wishes was. So we had a reservation, I think, maybe around 7:30, and Wishes was at 8 o'clock. So it was perfect. And being at the end of January, it was cool in Orlando. So, in fact, it was so cool. It was probably low 50s at that time. And my wife didn't even want to go outside and watch it. We had a great table right by the window. So we watched the beginning of Wishes from our table, and I said, I'm just going to go take a peek outside. And you get up there on the top floor there, and it was a little windy, and it was definitely, even for us in Buffalo, it was cool. but it was great. We had a great table, really enjoyed our food. Again, great service. Had a nice kind of a side booth table, which was, again, right by the windows and right by the door where you actually walk outside to go. One of the doors to go outside. So it was our first time. We were there maybe back in 2008. So it was our first time since they redid the restaurant, redid the menu. Was that maybe a year ago or so? So really enjoyed it, and definitely can see why it continues to be one of the more popular places on property.
Let me ask you this, kind of a tough Disney question here. If Disney calls you tomorrow and says, we're going to gift you a free meal either at Flying Fish or California Grill, which one would you take?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. I think I would go with California Grill. And I think I would go for it because of the atmosphere, the combination of, you know, having Wishes right there. If you can time it, and combine Wishes with your meal, you can't beat it. You really can't beat it. So that's a great question though. But I think I'd have to give the edge to California Grill because of having the fireworks and Wishes right there.
All right. Well, I've been saving the big one for the end here. I was telling my wife about this. I'm like, I'm excited to get to talk to listener Tim tonight. And this is something we'll probably never do. But, you know, hey, either you never know. I never thought I'd go on a Disney cruise, and I've been on, you know, like 8 or 9 of them. So you guys, again, took advantage of your location, your Grand Floridian. You know, you want to have the most luxurious meal on property, probably in the state of Florida as well. You guys went to Victoria and Albert. So how was that for you guys?
Unbelievable. It lived up to the hype and so much more. And I'll admit, it was, you know, I knew how expensive it would be and thinking, my gosh, am I really going to spend this much for a meal? But it was everything it was cracked up to be. Everything from the minute we walked in to how we were treated, how we were greeted, to everything. And to be honest with you, Mike, I expected it to be a lot more pretentious than it was. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was plenty formal, it was beautiful, but the servers were very down to earth. They were very friendly. They explained everything. If you had a question, they went in every detail to explain it. If you had a problem, they would something with the menu that you didn't care for, they easily accommodated you. It was an unbelievable experience. So we checked in, and I think we had the early seating. So I think we had 5:45 was our reservation. And we were there probably a good 3 hours, but it was worth every minute and every penny we spent. as you know, there's a harpist that plays, and which is absolutely beautiful. And we sat down. I didn't know this part. They actually have the menu preset for you with your name on it. So again, it says welcome, your name, congratulations on your 15-year wedding anniversary. I must have told them it was our anniversary. They must have been asked me if I was celebrating anything when I booked it. So, and it, which is a keepsake. You get to take that home. And I guess for what you pay, they should give you the menu to take home. But so we decided to do the wine pairing with the meal. So what it is, it's I think it's seven course dinner, and then I think it's six glass wine pairing. And it was wonderful. I mean, everything was, as you would expect, paired absolutely perfect. We ended up, from talking to our servers, we actually had a husband and wife team. You would never know it unless you kind of ended up, you know, talking to them, which we did. So they had been there since, I believe they said, since Victoria and Albert's opened, and they've worked as a team. So you literally have two servers waiting on you, and they were just so nice and so friendly. Again, explained everything to you. And just, it was just an unbelievable experience. I mean, everything from all the different breads. I mean, I think there was three or four different breads, and everything was paired perfectly with what you're having. And it was all explained. It was imported from different countries and different pastry chefs that made the rolls. And you really start right at the top from, you know, a couple appetizers, and you have choices too. The choices were wonderful. So you might have, for every course, you might have three choices, sometimes even four. So if you didn't like a couple of things, there was chances are you'd find something that you liked. And if you needed to switch something out, they were very, very accommodating. So, I think you got a chance to try some things. Like I had for one of my, I believe it was one of my entrees, I had quail, not something I generally would order at home, but with the way they explained it, it was great. I know I had veal, quail, I think we had some kind of buffalo or bison as one of the appetizers. Everything. The next thing was better than the last. It was just absolutely wonderful, and it's hard to live. I think hard to live up to the hype, especially when you hear so much about it and you see the price points. But honestly, it was well worth it. If you're having a special occasion, I would highly recommend it. And I think the way people have described it to me too, and I've heard it talked about, I'm sure you've heard it too, is it's really is, I hate to be kind of corny, but it really is a culinary experience. It really is. It's more than just going out to dinner. It's an experience. It's like you said, state of Florida, I'd say there's nothing like it, you know, anywhere, at least on the East Coast. I think you'd have to really search far and high and wide to find anywhere that was anywhere close to Victoria and Albert. So just had a wonderful meal. Again, it was just a perfect cap. We did it on our last evening. So after having three great days, you know, visiting the parks and, as I said, taking the tour, it was just an absolute perfect end to our adult vacation.
Man, sounds like you guys had an amazing trip. I mean, this is what a couple's weekend, you know, or 3-4 day trip is all about. You know, it's about those discoveries of, as a couple, being able to do things that, you know, when you have kids, you can do, but they're not the same. And a lot of times you forego those, saying, you know, someday we'll get to those things, you know, and a lot of times you just, you know, you just keep putting them off and putting them off. But, you know, you made a conscious effort to really seize that opportunity. Now, as we close the show out, you know, and you think back on this trip, you know, you had the magical moment, the big old room at the Grand Floridian, you know, great meal, Victoria and Albert's, Flying Fish, California Grill, nice tour. Is there anything that you learned maybe you'd like to pass on to our listeners that are considering a couple's trip when they're a family, you know, that's not used to this kind of a dynamic? So looking back, you know, what maybe one lesson learned that could help our audience?
Well, that's another great question. I would say, the first thing is still do your planning, because even though your kids aren't with you, if you want to take advantage of making sure that you hit all these, you know, if you're doing some signature dining, you still want to make sure that you get in there and you plan it, you know, try to get in at your 180 day window, which we did. And then I would say the next tip would be just take some time to just slow down and relax. I think, you know, we did some things, especially, we didn't really even get a chance to talk about Epcot, but we did some things in Epcot that we never would do with our kids. Namely, we spent a lot of time in touring World Showcase. And most of the time with our kids, we might walk through there for an hour and we're out of there. But we really made sure to take some time and hit a lot of the countries and, You know, we did like the American Adventure, which is my kids dread it, which is one of my favorite attractions. I think it's still great. So we were able to sit there and enjoy it without the kids, you know, wondering when it's going to be over with. We did a couple of the Circle Visions. I know we did the one in China and Canada, which again, we wouldn't do with our kids. And just, you know, we took some time. We even, like for example, in Germany, toured a little bit around the stores and kind of wandered upon a little bar, and they were selling this German beer. Of course, we had to partake and had to have one. Ended up being like a grapefruit beer. So just, again, something that you wouldn't do with your kids. Later in the afternoon that day, there was a British Invasion band playing just outside the British pub, Rose and Crown. So we sat there outside and listened to them for a half an hour. So just stuff that you just wouldn't take the time to do with your kids. So my advice would just be, slow down. Yet we did some of the attractions. We had a couple of Fast Pass pluses each day, but outside of that, we weren't really waiting in lines for a lot of things. If there wasn't a line, we would maybe go on it. But other than that, we just really just enjoyed the time together, but also really just enjoyed the beauty that, you know, Walt Disney World provides, and just some of the things and attractions and sights and shopping. We did some shopping that, you know, we normally don't do with the kids. We didn't buy a lot of stuff, but just there were stores in, for example, in Magic Kingdom, and I know we've raced by 100 times that I've never walked into, and we took the time to do that. So it really did give you a different perspective on, I think, Walt Disney World, and I think the tour also helped give that perspective. But I'd highly recommend it. If you're a Disney fanatic and you want to get away with your significant other, I would say do it. The kids will be fine. You'll probably get back with them some other time, but take the time to do it, and just really enjoy the beauty and how much fun you can have as an adult touring the world.
Well, Tim, sounds like an amazing trip, man. I am so excited just to hear that you had such an amazing time, and I appreciate you taking the time to start the week with us here on a Monday. And you know, I think everybody's just smiling right along, and lots of couples are thinking about leaving those kids behind for a weekend right now. I'm thinking about it right now. We're sending Paige off to college here next month, and now we just got to find somewhere for Mallory to go. And I'm on this.
I'm all for it. I would highly recommend it.
All right. Take care, buddy. And not so long between trips. We'll have to, when you get back next time, we'll get on and talk about it again, because you know how to do Disney the right way.
It sounds good. Look forward to it. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Take care. And don't forget, hey, this show today brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. They're going to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on the next Walt Disney World and Disneyland vacation. Let's face it, you know, whether you're a couple down there just for a leisurely weekend, or if you have, you know, seven kids with you, and God help you if you do, that'd be a task. But nobody wants to wait in lines. You want to get around those lines, get in, see the attraction, and have the experience, and get on to the next thing. You know, whether it's a great meal, going back to the pool and swimming, whatever it is, you want to have a great time at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. And the folks over at touringplans.com can help you do that each and every time. So drop by today. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, grab that premium subscription over at touringplans.com. Check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even when I'm at Castaway Key. The music never stops. And of course, tomorrow, Background Loop Tuesday, you want to check that out, because it's 21 straight hours of authentic background loops from Walt Disney World and the resorts, because you got to get those resorts like Animal Kingdom Lodge. Great stuff. So check it out today, MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on the social media. Great time to do that, because I'll be live tweeting from Walt Disney World. And on Twitter, I'm at Be Our Guest Mike. And of course, I'll be Periscoping too, so make sure you check that out on Twitter. Instagram, Be Our Guest Mike as well. And drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Ricky will be updating that. And of course, drop by the forums, join the conversation, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. I'm probably just about done with the 5K, probably have my medal by now. I'm getting ready to jump into the ocean to cool off, and, you know, a couple hours I'll be having lunch at Cookies. Don't mean to rub it in, but man, you only get to do this every once in a while, so I got to enjoy it. So hope you guys are having a great week back on land. We'll be back again with you on Wednesday with more listener questions. So for listener Tim, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Keep working hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.